Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Atlanta Life Media, here to share the love through liquor life experience. Atlanta Life Media.
Who job bless? Let no man curse. Sing low.
Well, let's have this liquor conversation.
Good morning. I believe that the Lord is saying that this is the year of breakthrough, and I hope that all of you listening are believing for yours today. Thank you for tuning in and joining me for another special episode of Up to Me Radio's Filmmaker Spotlight with guest Philippa Boyens and her film, 8 Days. I'm your host, Gabby G, and if this is the first time you were listening to the program, my mother used to call me Gabby Gale as a little girl because I was born with the gift of gab, a trait that both my husband and son can each attest to. But I say that's okay because I believe that one's greatest weakness is also one's greatest gift. So if you like to talk a lot like me or you're just a great listener, please join me in my virtual Gabby G Cafe and be inspired and educated along with me because we have a very enlightening and eye-opening show for you this morning. So grab your tablet, your paper, and a pen. Each week, I will welcome our guests and invite you to join me in conversations on various topics that relate to our journeys in awakening and living in our life purpose. I'm blessed and humbled to be a part of this Christ-led team, and I do not take this opportunity to serve as your host for granted. We will also have a very special segment in our show for you to share your Up to Me moments, when you faced your reality, found your courage, and made a decision for action to make a change in your life. Hear it Up to Me. We love to encourage and empower each other to be the best that we can be. So this program is truly meant to be a platform of voices to be heard and expressed in a safe and non-judgmental environment. I cannot express that enough. Please, please don't feel shy. We really do want to hear from you. I also want to express a special thank you to Mel D, Allie Ward, and the entire Atlanta Life Media team, and to Blessed Love Gospel Reggae Band for creating our theme song, Wake Up. You can hear the song in its entirety at the close of our show, and if you like it, please let me know by sending me a message on our new Facebook page. Send it to Gabby at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, and in a future show, we will provide you with the details of how you can purchase the song. Also, we're now on iTunes, so please feel free to subscribe to our Atlanta Life Radio podcast channel. Simply download to our free Apple podcast app, search for Atlanta Life Radio, select, and subscribe. If you want to join me in today's discussion, please call in now to get the on-air cue at 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. Then hold on and enjoy the show, and we will bring you on air shortly. Well, I have to admit that prior to September the 11th, 2001, I felt as if our world was a pretty big place and that our country here in the United States of America was light years away from atrocities such as terrorism, daily bombings, jihadist wars, and human sex trafficking. What was that? Unfortunately, I think I believe as many Americans did at that time that we were too protected and too civilized and too far removed geographically to experience that type of level of evil existence. After 9/11, though, I had a rude awakening and realized just how small our world truly is. My very special guest this morning helps to shed light on and educate our small world by donating her precious time, godly gifts and talents, production film company After Eden Pictures. She is the creative director at After Eden, as well as an accomplished screenwriter for such films as 8 Days, I Am Not Ashamed, and We Are Brothers. She was raised in the entertainment industry as an accomplished actress, model, and athlete, and has appeared on many national talk shows and events, including her most recent appearance on The Steve Harvey Show. She also teaches modeling and acting to aspiring models and actresses as co-host of the TV show Insight. It is for her film 8 days, however, that I've asked her to be a guest on our program so that she can educate, enlighten, and share some important information so close to her own heart and family of human sex trafficking. Please help give me a very warm and virtual welcome to Miss Philippa Boyens. Good morning, Philippa.
Good morning, Gail. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks so much that we can talk about this.
Well, thank you for being up early. I know you're a new mom. You have a beautiful baby girl, Arwen, and congratulations on that. And just thank you so
thank
much
you.
For getting up so early for us. I appreciate
oh,
that.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you know what, Philip, I usually ask my guests what their up-to-me moment is in regard to the topic at hand. And it's that moment where we feel like you face your reality and you found the courage to make a decision for action to make a change in your life based on your set of circumstances. So concerning the atrocity and the crime of human sex trafficking, what was it that compelled you and your husband, Yaki, to write and produce your film 8 Days?
Oh, I love talking about this. This was about 5 years ago, coming up on 6 years ago. My husband and I moved to Dallas, Texas, from Nashville, Tennessee, and I remember hearing about sex trafficking, and I knew it was a problem, but it was something that I thought was overseas and faraway places. It felt so, it felt so far away, and it felt, I feel like a lot of people run into the, we don't know what this is, we don't want to know, really.
Right.
And we definitely don't know what we can do about it, but God just really kept bringing this up to my attention, and I had no idea what to do about it. I'm not an outgoing person. I don't consider myself a speaker, though God keeps giving me platforms to speak. And I didn't feel like I was a lobbyist or, you know, I can't run a safe home, but God put me in touch with this woman who had her own organization to fight trafficking, and she said God laid on her heart to write a book and asked if I would help.
Wow.
Because she knew I was a writer, and I was totally intimidated. Abuse isn't something that I have personal experience with, and I didn't think I could do it, but I prayed about it really hard, and God said, I've called you to write. You need to tell their stories. And so I committed to it, and I started listening to multiple different stories across the United States, things that were happening in our backyard around the country, and it just broke me. I was crying a lot at home, and my husband Yaku was concerned for me, but I realized too that you hear the stats, but it doesn't hit home until you hear their stories, and I knew their stories had to be written, but I knew they had to be seen too, and especially at that time, there weren't any movies that followed the victims. They were following the rescuers or the parents, but nobody really dove into what is this person experiencing. This is a human being, and we can't treat people like this. So it was a very tough experience. 8 days is tough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think the MPAA said that our film is emotionally disturbing, but I think it should be. This is real.
Right.
This is what these people are going through, and it shouldn't happen. So that was kind of our we had to do this kind of moment, and it's been a blessing to go through with it. And we had such a strong community surround us. That was absolutely amazing. We had people that were talented in makeup or hair or made food for the crew or donated their time in so many different areas to make this film happen. And I'm just absolutely amazed with what God's done with it to raise awareness and support these anti-trafficking organizations.
And you can imagine, it is frightening to watch. I was frightened by watching it. I had the same feeling when watching the movie Passion with the Christ. When it first came out, I wouldn't watch it because I knew it was graphic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I could handle it. And then I felt guilty about that because I felt a responsibility to watch it because,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that way about your film. It's, you know, it's not a feel-good film, but it's in that way. It's educational, but it needs to be told. And your husband was right in an interview. I heard him say that there were people that were resistant to you making it, like, you can't make this film. It's too graphic. Mm-hmm. And he said that's exactly why we have to make it, because – and he hits that point right on the head. But what I was feeling, too, is if these women and these girls and if our Christ could – we have to see what they've had to endure.
Yes.
In order to make an impact for change.
Absolutely. And I do want to clarify, like, we have a TV safe version that is the only one that's available right now. So there's no cussing, there's no nudity, there's no.
Oh, I see.
Like, the MPAA told us, you showed abuse without showing abuse. Like, we literally.
Oh, that's
like,
beautiful.
Yeah. It's. Yeah, we didn't show anything, or there's no cussing. But I do feel like ignorance is not innocence. Like, we are not innocent because we don't know about this, or we refuse to know about this. And that's something God laid on my heart too, is ignoring sex trafficking doesn't make it go away. Denial does not protect you from the truth.
Right,
and
right.
That's really the biggest reason we have a problem, is because people have refused to acknowledge that this is happening, and they refuse to do something about it. So I'm really excited now. We've been fighting this for the past 5 years with how much progress has happened and how much more people are talking about it, and it's making a huge difference. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to all the different FBI and ICE operations that have been going on that have really, they've rescued a ton of victims, and they've put away a lot of traffickers as well. And it's because people have been made aware, and they're talking to their local law enforcement, and they're talking to politicians as well, and really making a difference.
I know our church has a program in place for human sex trafficking as well in our own neighborhood. And we had an event at our church, and I was amazed.
Awesome.
That it was about 25 minutes. The neighborhood where this was taking place was 25 minutes from where I live, and I was astounded.
Yeah.
So you're right. Is it right in your own backyard? And it's not. And that's the next thing I want to talk to you about, is the statistics. You know, according to the FBI, 300,000 people a year are trafficked throughout the United States, and 20,000 are trafficked into the U.S. So can you? I would love for you to educate us about who is being targeted and trafficked. Is it girls, boys? Is there certain age groups? Is it certain socioeconomic backgrounds that's vulnerable?
Great question. Great question. I think the real stats are a lot higher than that, because this is a very hard crime to report. People still don't know what exactly this looks like. 3 years ago, I had a college student that worked with us that went to her local law enforcement, and they had no idea what sex trafficking was. So it's hard to report something when you don't know what it looks like. And these traffickers are very good, too, at going under the radar. That's why. Another reason why this is a huge problem. But so I think the stats are inaccurate in that way. And I actually saw somewhere that only like 0.01% of crime is reported. So
wow. Only 1%?
Like this. Yeah, less than 1%. So
wow.
People that are targeted, it really is, it's all over the place. It's not a discriminator of race or social class or anything like that. But there are some things to be aware of as well. Like the story I followed in 8 days, and a lot of the stories that I researched actually came from a girl from a middle-class, well-off community in a safe neighborhood, and her mother was a helicopter mom, really overprotective, and, you know, knew all of her friends, and this girl was still, she still made the wrong decisions and trusted the wrong people and ended up in trafficking. So, you know, statistically, it is easier to traffic someone that no one is going to look for. So kids that are runaways, I think there is, like, within 48 hours of a child running away, there's at least a 33% chance that they enter the life of trafficking. And foster children are also easier targets. Girls and boys that have been abused before are also easier targets. So that helps be an easier target that way. But really, I've seen it. I've seen a lot of different people from a lot of different places end up in trafficking.
Is it true that some plant themselves in schools and disguise themselves as like regular students, and they date the girls and then they take them away? They act as a boyfriend or.
Absolutely. I just was able to go to a screening of The Abolitionist, which I think is playing across the country on a Fathom event on May 16th. And it's a very good film to watch educationally to see what's happening around the world. These men are rescuing victims and putting traffickers away. But one of the things they said is that traffickers look like normal people. And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of cases right now where children are trafficked by their family members out of their house. They're trafficked by their friends out of school. And definitely boyfriends, there's something called a Romeo pimp, and they're very good at acting like this girl or boy, boyfriend kind of figure, and they offer, you know, just security and love, in quotation marks, protection over this person, and so they feel like they're the safer option, and then they end up having to help out with the finances or things like that, or they, you know, and they end up being sold.
That's why the family members are saying do it, because they need the money.
Yeah.
Is it all about that money?
It is so disgusting to me. I feel like just as a society, we have devalued humanity. We've devalued ourselves, and we're treating the same thing with pornography, which is a huge reason why there is such a demand. That is the problem. There is a demand. And we're objectifying people, and we're treating them as property, as commodities to be used to earn money. And it is absolutely disgusting, because these are human beings and nobody deserves to be treated like this. I mean, I know I won't go into graphic detail, but I know way too many cases of, you know, there's so much abuse if these people try to escape or speak up. And I know people that have been locked in closets for years while they're sold to different buyers.
It's not any different than slavery, you know, from a couple hundred years ago, abortion. It's all a disregard for human life.
It is. They're calling sex trafficking, human trafficking, modern day slavery, because trafficking implies that people are moving other people around, but literally these people are trafficked out of their homes and out of their school. So it is technically more like modern day slavery. We are treating human beings that bad.
So I'm glad we're talking about this, because it astounds me that this is even taking place in our world today. Have we not come far at all in our thinking? And I think I don't understand how this is taking place. I mean, are there any kind of signs that we can attribute that would help us to better protect our children? And is there a way? I know you were saying that it's hard to recognize the perpetrators because, you know, matter of factly, there some of them are our own family members. But are there any signs that we can pick up on? How can we protect our children?
Great question. In the story, 8 Days, that we follow, the biggest reason I think this was an issue for these families that were researched was that they didn't know what trafficking was and they didn't know what it looked like. So educating yourselves as a family, and especially as kids, to just know what to be aware of and look out for. I had some people that watched just the trailer for 8 Days and said that after watching the trailer, they were not going to meet up with their online boyfriend at a secluded location. So there are some obvious things to look out for. I have a friend that's a nurse as well, that she was recently telling me about a case where a girl came in that said she didn't have her ID, which probably meant that she was underage, and she was with a controlling, angry boyfriend, and there was just a ton of fear around her. A lot of traffickers right now hang out at malls. And
malls.
So all these malls, yeah, so all these parents that drop off their 13 and 14-year-old kids, they have these traffickers that watch them at malls. And one of the girls we worked with in 8 days, actually a couple of them, said that while they were at the mall, they had encounters with these men that were watching them and that were on the phone and were they could tell they were talking about them and kind of,
ooh,
yeah, kind of scoping them out kind of thing. So, yeah, those kind of things definitely need
what
to be aware
did?
Of. One of my girls was with her father, so she talked to him and they left. The other girl was college age, and she went to find the manager of the store and security. So they ended up following this guy and talking to him. So that, you know, but you need to be aware. You need to know what to look for. I wouldn't, you know, you need to have people know where you are. You need to travel with people and just be aware of your surroundings. Those kind of things are obviously helpful.
Is it certain age groups, do you think? And there's boys too, right? Not just girls.
There are boys. I think the average age of entry into sex trafficking is 12 to 14.
Wow.
So, unfortunately, we know cases of 1- and 2-year-olds that have been trafficked, which, yes, that is...
What?
It is absolutely, yeah, mind-boggling and disgusting. So... There are, unfortunately, predators that the buyers, this is the reason there's a problem, is there's buyers. There's a demand. Without a demand, there would be no need to create a supply of victims. So, yeah, that's what we really need to address are these buyers. But, yeah, they do try and, in general, try and lure people in when they're younger. But there are, I know a lot of cases of college age and sometimes even older people that end up being trafficked.
Well, where is this taking place? Is there any place in the United States that's more prevalent than others, or really it just is all over?
Unfortunately, I haven't found a place where it's not happening. Atlanta is a huge hub for this, and I really think because it's such a large city and there's a huge international airport. So Atlanta's had a huge, they're one of the ones with a lot of people that get trafficked in. But Atlanta and Georgia in general has done an amazing job of starting to fight trafficking as well, because they're aware that this is an issue for them. So, but yeah, Dallas is, or Texas is one of the highest call centers for reporting trafficking.
You think that's to do with the border?
There is a huge problem with the border. I have a family friend that works in Congress, and she said that these people that bring kids across the border, they're having to give pregnancy tests to, you know, 10 to 12-year-olds because they've been assaulted on their way up to the border.
Oh, it's, my goodness.
I know. California is also really bad as well as far as trafficking, but literally I know – every state where trafficking is happening. And it's not just cities either. There's a lot, there's suburban communities where traffickers literally have, they're in normal suburban homes. That's something to start paying attention to. If you see anything weird with your neighbors, I was actually on a panel with some police officers and a DA in my local area recently. And they said, you know, be a nosy neighbor. I would rather know about it than not know. So pay attention to what your neighbors are doing. And if you see anything suspicious as far as, like, I don't know, lots of
trafficking in and out of a house.
Yeah, and they probably won't bring people into the house. They'll probably have the girls go out. But, yeah, they're... they definitely, and I saw a rescue, this was a few years ago, that definitely happened in a suburban neighborhood. A girl was able to escape. And it is hard for a lot of these girls to escape. I've heard that statistically about 90% of all prostitution is forced or coerced, and that means they're being trafficked. So what happens a lot of times is these girls and boys are drugged to where it's really hard for them to escape. And actually another statistic is once they enter the life of trafficking, their lifespan is about 7 years.
Wow.
So, yes. So it's a very, very hard life because they're forced to endure abuse every day and sexual assault. And a lot of these buyers are abusive. And a lot of these buyers are worse than their pimps, than their traffickers, as far as abuse. And so between the drugs and the abuse, it's a very hard life to live through. And there are many survivors as well, but I want to get to a point where, you know, we aren't having to rescue these victims, but we are, it's not happening. We're preventing this from happening.
Exactly. So how do we do that? I mean, how is that, how do we deplete the demand?
Great question. This is something I'm so passionate right now is the reason why this is a problem is because there's a demand, and we have to acknowledge that and address that. Something that I have loved seeing recently is countries in Europe, like Sweden and France and Norway and Northern Ireland, they've adopted something called the Nordic model that is attacking buyers. So when there's no buyers, there's no demand, there's no need for a supply of victims. So they are making it illegal with huge prison sentences and repercussions to buy sexual acts from people. So that's huge because the laws are starting to change in the United States, but in general, it's been illegal to sell prostitution. So these victims have been treated like criminals and these buyers haven't gotten much punishment at all. So they're still doing it.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're saying then that it's not illegal in the United States to do this. Is that right? So then there's the sentences aren't as harsh once they get caught or whatever because they know nothing's going to happen to them. They just walk because it's not a law. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it is illegal to abuse a child.
Sure.
So, but a lot of these cases, these children do not have IDs and they'll say they're 18 or things like that.
So there's ways they're finding around the law.
Absolutely. And what's infuriating to me, too, is once these victims turn 18, then there's not much protection for them. And in general, these victims started in this life. They started in trafficking at 12 to 14. So as soon as they have a birthday, we don't protect them. That's irritating to me. But
that is
crazy. It is illegal to sell, to prostitute. Except I think in places like Las Vegas and things like that. But it's really the buyers are not being punished for this, and that's a reason why there's a problem. And I don't think people have really connected that. We were talking to a man recently that was talking about pornography and how it isn't really harmful to anybody. And and I'm like, you don't realize that.
All the evil that comes from that.
Yeah, and a lot of these people that are in the pornographic films are being trafficked, unfortunately. So even just watching pornography is perpetuating the cycle of abuse and trafficking. So, and you're viewing people as commodities, you're not viewing them as actual real life people, and it's justification to abuse, to live out these fantasies. It's a really bad, bad system we've gotten ourselves in. So, we have to stop the demand. We have to stop the buyers. We have to raise awareness for what this is and what these victims are going through, that this is not okay. We can't treat people like this.
Exactly. Amen to that. You're right. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
It is.
Well, you know what? Hold that thought. We're going to take a short station break. And when we return, we're going to talk about your film, 8 Days. So we'll be back in just a moment.
This is executive producer Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Please tell a friend and come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor or wish to learn how to advertise with us, please send me an email, message of interest, complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, send an email, complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program. Gabby?
And we're back, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Me Radio. I'm your host, Gabby G, and we're talking with the creative director of After Eden Pictures and screenwriter of the human trafficking film, 8 Days, Ms. Philippa Boyens. If you would like to call in and be a part of our conversation, please call 347-324-5246 and press the number 1. In the meantime, we're going to continue our conversation with Philippa Boyens, and Philip, I wanted to talk about your actual film that you made about human sex trafficking, and that's your film called 8 Days. First of all, tell us about the title. Why the title 8 Days? Why is that significant?
We chose the title 8 Days because statistically after 7 days, it is nearly impossible to find a victim of kidnapping and trafficking. So that was the reason we chose that particular number. And two, this girl does get rescued. There is a silver lining. There is a happier ending in this film. So the reason we follow this particular story is because it was something I personally related to, following the storyline of a girl that lived in a safer community that didn't know that this existed and had a protective mom, and she still made bad choices and ended up in trafficking. But she and her community and the mother, they fight to get her back. So I wanted people to fight with this girl and fight with the mother and to start fighting for all these children out there that are in this situation. So, and 8 Days too, we do, what's different about this film as far as trafficking, it's not a documentary. It is a feature film that follows the storyline of this girl that is trafficked. And I thought it was important too to see this from the victim's perspective. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there are a lot of films out there that glorify pimping and that culture, and you know, a lot of TV shows that just, it's okay and these women want to do this. And I'm like, you don't know. After reading just a ton of their stories and listening to testimonials, I knew their stories had to be told. And it is, you know, it is uncomfortable to watch, but their stories are true, and it's painful, and people need to know, and we need to do something about it. And I do want to encourage people too that there is so much we can do. One of my life quotes has been, never doubt that a thoughtful, committed group of citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And that's what I've seen with people recently and with our community, is that this was our project that we could do as entertainers, and to just see what it's been able to do, and to see, I know so many people that have started their own organizations or that use their dressmaking ability to fight trafficking and to support these victims. It's been absolutely amazing to see the change and what people have been able to do with their gifts and abilities.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you don't have to be a screenwriter or a filmmaker or be in the entertainment industry to make a difference. You can have all sorts of gifts and talents to contribute. Like you said, making your film, you had people who are gifted in makeup and hair. They made food and brought it to the actors, you know, so you could continue to film. And I want to talk also about your appearance on the Steve Harvey Show, because it was really, I loved it. And how did you get to be on the Steve Harvey Show? And also, was the film well received, the topic, after the appearance?
Oh, thank you. What a blessing that was to be on that show. We have a publicist worked with us, and we were talking to Dr. Phil for a while, and they wanted victims to go on the show. And it's so hard to get people that have gone through that traumatic of an experience to speak out publicly like that and endure, you know, just the ridicule.
Reliving
and stress. Yeah, and reliving it. So it was a very difficult thing to do. And Steve Harvey as well, they wanted victims, but they allowed us to work with victims that had overcome to an extent where they have their own ministries. And so we were able to work with Yaku's sister. My sister-in-law was actually a trafficking victim. And their family is from South Africa. And she signed a record deal at 12. And she's from a single parent household like my husband. And what happened is she would tour the country with this manager starting at 12, and he started abusing her, and he started selling her out to these different people he worked with and venue owners he worked with. He was trafficking her while she was performing.
Wow.
And yes. And nobody knew about it, and she was threatened with her life and her family's life. So she, you know, that endured until they left South Africa at 18, and she left the record deal. So, but through that, she was able to go through counseling and healing, and it took a long time, and it was a very difficult journey. Her name is Alonka. She was also appeared on the Steve Harvey Show with us, and she has her own ministry and is fighting as well. So it's been very healing for our family and to work with Alonka and to speak about this crime. And the Steve Harvey Show did receive it very well. I know he's more comedic. He's a wonderful man. I'm so blessed. I know he's very passionate and very honest. And he was just horrified that this was happening. And that was so great to see and experience. And they actually had their audience watch our film as well. And so they were able to.
That's great.
Yeah, it gave them a special insight into this and what was happening. So it was very eye-opening for them and their production crew as well, and just a real blessing to be able to speak about this and bring awareness on a national level.
Can you please tell us the story that Yaku talked about? On Steve Harvey.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That was God. Please tell us that story. You know which one I'm talking about?
I do. I know exactly which one. So before we started filming, we came in contact with Homeland Security Investigation and a division called ICE, and they end up doing a lot of the rescuing of these victims, and they helped rewrite my script to a way that the rescue was appropriate to what actually happened, what actually would happen. And we have a lot of their crew. It was kind of an homage to them on set, and they actually did a rescue. So while we're filming this rescue, they also put us at a hotel that was known as a trafficking spot. So this is like where this actually happens, and we knew that. But while we're filming, we were in between cuts and takes, and Yaku heard a bullet click in a chamber. And on set, you know, if you have guns, weapons, they do not have gunpowder or bullets in them. And so that was kind of scary, and Yaku's kind of looking around and what's happening, and all these men gear up and get their weapons ready, and they walk around the corner while we're in the midst of filming, and they end up apprehending this guy for trafficking. And he was at another room in this hotel that we were filming at, and they had yeah, there'd been a call-in for trafficking, and they've had a girl in the room, and it was just they're reading his tattoos and getting him apprehended while we're filming, and it was just eye-opening that you know, this is what we're filming right now, but this is happening right beside us. So we're
and it was
so,
just like three doors down or something, right?
Yeah.
They were filming in one hotel room, and they had to interrupt your filming to run over and apprehend a true life rescue three doors down. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's such a God thing, too, that we were able to be at the hotel at the same time that they were there and with the actual people that make the rescue and apprehension. So such a God thing. And it was really eye-opening. I know this film totally changed the lives of our crew and our cast. One of my best friends played the role of Phoebe, and who was, she's the lead girl in charge and kind of answers to the pimp. And she said, my heart just broke for this girl and these girls like her and what they're going through. No matter how tough they appear to be or they have to be to survive this, just, you know, just to feel and to understand what they're going through, it was amazing. And it's really, it's impacted all of us to be able to see those things and to be able to help them that way.
I can't even imagine. That was actually one of the things I was going to ask you next is how do they prepare for the role for something like that? I mean, how do you put your, you know, with the, I don't know if you've heard about the miniseries that was just out with People versus O.J. Simpson. Cuba Gooding Jr. said it took him a month to get over playing that role because he had to put himself in. His mind had to go somewhere else to prepare for that role. And it was counteractive to who he is, to his nature. So it took him a month to get over playing that role. So do you feel like who was the actress who played, the lead?
Nicole Smolin played our lead, and she was 16 at the time, which is the age of our victim was in the story. And that was really hard because we knew that part would be hard and difficult to play, but we prayed over her and all the actors, and she has a maturity level that is outstanding for her age. And we had a counselor and he's also an acting coach work with our actors, which was absolutely amazing to make sure that they were emotionally okay and a prayer team as well. It was, Nicole did amazing and great. And I think it was actually harder for our guy that played Tyler, who was the kidnapper, to get out of that headspace. Lots of prayer went over him, and, you know, just, he was an incredible actor, and you just believe the evil that he was embodying to play this role. And I know that took him to places he's a committed actor and loves what he's doing, but you know, in normal circumstances you don't want to be there. And I know the mother too, she said said that she was crying for months after 8 days, just feeling what that mother went through. So it was really impactful. And we went through a lot of prayer over our cast and crew and worked with counselors and our prayer team as well for them to be able to do what they did. But a lot of preparation went into it. I know some actors that stayed at the hotels or that heavily researched just what these people were going through. Because that's the thing, these are people. These are real people that are going through this. And so to live and portray their experiences, it was a heavy task. But I think God was able to help them out and help us out to portray that.
Well, you know, I want to congratulate you and Yaku for the type of filmmakers that you are to take that responsibility and go above and beyond to make sure that your actors were protected. And that
Thank
the fact that you, oh my goodness, you know, that's pretty amazing that you would hire psychologists to be with them, that you pray over everyone to make sure there's no demonic forces that are, you know, you know, because that can open doors just by portraying that. So, you know, it's very responsible filmmaking. That makes me want to watch every one of your films, just because I know it. I know your work anyway. Your reputation precedes you, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you in there, because you, I know that you're extremely faithful, and I know that that everything that you do is through the Lord, and it's responsible. But I did not realize that you did that, and just kudos to you for doing that, and that. That just makes that warms my heart to know that you care about people that I know they're actors and you hire them, but they're also considered to be friends. And you know, the fact that you're just being responsible in that way is it's a beautiful thing. So I just I appreciate that you did that for them, because I was watching this as well, this trailer, and I was like, how do you even put yourself, how do you research something like that, and how disturbing is it that you have to put yourself in their place? And then I also heard that, and maybe this was true or not, so you can clarify this, but when they did the actual filming of that, her being rescued with the Homeland Security men that you had, they were actual agents, you said, right? And they had their actual guns. And you did not film prior to that, so it wasn't like a lot of takes. Was that fresh for her when she was being rescued and bursting through the door and all that? Had you not – was that just one take?
Oh, great question. We had been shooting earlier. This was the second week of filming, so – I think everybody had kind of gotten more in the swing of things, but that, and it was the last shots of the night were those takes. And I wasn't in the room. I was actually, a lot of us were outside. I think just the camera operators were inside the room, and I had headphones on with actually the guy that played Tyler that ended up, well, that was the kidnapper for our lead. And we just listened in the room, and as they're shooting these takes to Nicole, who was our lead, screaming. And it was just, it was absolutely chilling for him and for me to hear that, and we couldn't even see it. So the performances that we were able to pull out and that God put inside these actors is just, it's amazing. And it felt so real for us to just go through it. And I've been living with this story for the past 2 years, so I knew what was happening, but to see it and to hear it play out was absolutely amazing. And it is, thank you for saying that. It's so important that we, you know, not just appreciate and value these victims, but that we appreciate and value everybody. That's so important to us as people and as a company. So, and we grew up in acting, and so we know what these performers go through as well. But it was amazing to hear and to see. I think they went through maybe 3 takes of the actual rescue.
Wow.
I think they had to, it took them a few tries to bust open our fake door that we had to make for the film. But it was really cool to see. We had 2 actors with the HSI Homeland Security officers, and we went through training with them, which was absolutely amazing. They sat down with our actors and talked about what this really looked like from the victim's perspective and the trafficker's perspective, as well as the rescuer's perspective. So we were, you know, we prepared as well as we could have, and so blessed to be able to. We had a guy actually walk through and set up what the hotel room would look like, and what, so these actors knew what to do, knew the right wording to be able to do this correctly. It was very important to us.
Right. You know, this is such a compelling conversation. I wish we didn't have to go, but we have just about 10 minutes left of our broadcast. And so before we go and we start to close out, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know how your film is being distributed to generate change across the U.S. for this and the international community. So where can we go to purchase or rent 8 days or find out more about how they can hold an event for human sex trafficking in their own area?
Awesome. Yes, our website, we have several, but 8daysfilm.org, the number 8daysfilm.org is our main website, and you can see trailers, you can see interviews on Steve Harvey, as well as request an event in your area and buy the DVD or find out where you can rent the DVD online. Just raising awareness is so important in stopping this crime, so that I want people to know what this looks like so that they can protect themselves and protect each other. And there's so much you can do. I know I was just at an event at a high school where these kids created their own organization with their parents to fight this crime, and they had a community-wide event to screen the film, and they had a panel afterwards with different law enforcement and community leaders.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we've been able to do that across the country at churches and universities and high schools and just community events. There's so many ways you can do that. You can show the film, or you can just, which I think is really helpful for people to see. That's why it was created. It's a tool to show what this looks like from the victim's perspective. So please take advantage of that and look into that. And there's so much you can do. I just want to inspire you guys. You're powerful. You guys are a small army to care for these people, and you're making a difference and making a change. And, you know, every gift and ability you have, God can use to make a difference and to help these victims. And I want to encourage people, too, to start contacting their leaders, their local law enforcement, the DAs, the politicians, local and federal. We need to start protecting these victims and attacking the buyers and the demand, so that we can make a safe environment for our kids and to rest, so we don't have to end up rescuing these victims, so that we can keep them safe. So I'm so excited and so thankful for having me on.
Oh, well, I am really thankful for you for coming on and taking the time out of your busy schedule also for that. But come on and educate us, because I just received an education. I researched it, and I found out more. So I'm so appreciative. I really am. And I'm thankful to be able to have a platform that can bring stories like yours to the forefront, because that's just, you're right, there are faces and there are stories that need to be told. And I want to really end by a quote that something that you had said to me that I loved. And you said that ultimately the real issue is about valuing and honoring human life. Every person was made by God for a reason and a purpose. They have value and worth. God made them. We have to fight for and protect them. And you and Yaku do a beautiful job in doing that. And your commitment is amazing. It's effective. And I just want to thank you one final time for doing that, for taking the time out of your schedule to be here and to enlighten and educate us here at Up to Me Radio and all of our listeners and all of your films, including 8 Days, I'm Not Ashamed, and We Are Brothers, are breaking down social barriers by bringing about awareness and inspiring call to action change like 8 Days, not only in the United States, but around the world. So I'm personally proud of you and Yaku for your decision to utilize your God-given talents as an actress and screenwriter in this way, and not only for the cause of Christianity, but also as advocates for the human spirit and human social justice. So thank you both, and your families, for all that you do each and every day for each and every film that After Eden Pictures produces. Thank you so much. Well, here's where I'm going to ask you to have a call to action. If you have a paper and pen and tablet ready, because I have some really important information that I want to give you as we close out. To find out more about the work of After Eden Pictures or their film on human trafficking, 8 Days, you can visit their website at www.8daysfilm.org, and it's the number 8, or www.afteredenpictures.com. To donate or obtain your DVD copy or to rent 8 Days, you can go to their 8 Days website or to Amazon, iTunes, Vimeo, Vudu, which is VUDU, or GooglePlay.com. Keep in mind that all proceeds from rentals and purchases for 8 days does go directly to anti-trafficking organizations and safe homes of survivors. If you suspect someone you know and love has been or is a victim of sex trafficking, please call the Hope Line for help at 1-800-394-4673. And I'll repeat that. It's 1-800-394-4673, and that's the Hope Line for help. Or if you'd like to be an advocate for change and host an event against human trafficking in your local area, please visit www.sharetogethernow.org, or other recommended sites of support are also www.traffic911.com, www.findamber.com, www.thejubileemarket.com. Philippa talked about this a little bit earlier. She touched on the fact that this is clothing that women makes and that women make that go directly towards trafficking, and that's so you can purchase their beautiful clothing at www.thejubileemarket.com or the Atlanta Dream Center at www.atldreamcenter.com. On social media, you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and IMBD, respectively. Up to Me Radio will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. when my special guest will be Mr. Neil Beller, president of Kitten Caboodle Productions, LLC, author, entrepreneur, and hilarious radio show host and speaker. Seriously, if you want to learn how to tap into your best creative self, Neil Beller is going to teach you how. Learn how to use your talents to effectively market yourself and be the best that you were created to be. And I promise you, you are going to laugh. So mark your calendars. Meet me here at the Gabby G Cafe. And on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire cast of Atlanta Life Radio, this is Gabby G saying take five this week and be inspired to ask yourself about your own up-to-me moment. And come back to share it with us, because you know what? It's your life, your moment. It's up to you.
It's up to me to be the very best I can be. And it's up to you to do the same thing too.
Again, I say, wake up and live from your sleepless sleep. thunder. We can do this no longer. You may have to say, wake up, then live. Your life are full of purpose, so work it 'cause you're worth. Yo, listen, black, white, and native man, we all come from your given land. Whether you are African or whether you are Caucasian, no matter if you're from Japan or whether you are Hawaiian, we calling all our sons and daughters back again, again. Kings of kings rise on the throne and set this world on fire. Hooja bless, let no man curse until my flesh expires. I am a king and she is a queen and he shall reign forever. Christ Almighty, we shall be one in Zion. Blessed Lord.
You must see that you're worth it. So work it 'cause you're worth it.